Kind Father, we love you. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. God, I love you. I worship you. I place none other before you. I lift my hands. I worship with you with my heart, my mind, my body, my soul loves to worship you. God, I ask you, as we come into this time of sharing, as we come to this time of sharing your word and pouring your heart out, God, I want you just to, I empty myself out and get myself out of the way. I move Keith out of the way and let your Holy Spirit just move and rest and rule and abide with me and in me. And use me like never before, God. I want to be a yielding vessel for you, God. Empty me out and pour into me your fresh oil, God, so that I may be able to pour it out to your people. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach and the world. Thank you so much again for joining with us. I love you guys so much, and I just don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted that you decided to worship with us and to share some time with us as we share what God has on my heart for you. And I'm going to start off with something different today. A topic, as we come towards the end of the year, it's been a challenging year, if I can say it, as at the least. 2020 has definitely threw us for a loop. It just, nothing we expected. It was just way out of expectations. 2020, we thought it was going to be a great year, you know, the 2020 and everything, and then, but now it's just I think God used this year to get our attention. And kind of it gets me to the point of the message that I'm going to talk about today is don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. It's like a lot of things that we take for granted, a lot of things that we go through our life, a lot of things that we grew up with, a lot of things that lessons that we've taught, we've taken them for granted sometimes, or we forget where God has brought us from, or we forget the struggles that God has taken us through to get us to where we are today, or we've forgotten what it took to get what we have today. And because what we have today, it just seems normal, but we didn't get here by chance. We didn't get here by without fighting. We didn't get here without sacrifices and things like that. So I'm trying to tell you guys, my message God laid on my heart was, as we end out this year, as we go towards the new year, we are entering into something different, entering something new. But let's not forget the lessons that God has taught us throughout our lifetime. Let us not forget the good things that He has taught us and allowed us to go through, even the bad things that shaped our character. It may have hurt us. It may have cut us. We lost some friends. We've lost some loved ones. We've lost some jobs. We've lost some money. We've lost some hair. But let's not forget the lessons that even those bad things, God has allowed us to happen so that we may be able to just lean on Him and lead and guide and be led and guided through Him. Let's go to the Word of God. We're going to go through the book of Mark, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to start briefly on the 14th verse. And it says, "Now the disciples have forgotten to take the bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then He charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves and for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said to Him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So He said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" And this is kind of a brief story that Jesus taught His disciples. He kind of got frustrated with them because prior to this, Jesus had done many miracles and done fed 5,000 at one point, fed 4,000 at another point. And he got on a ship, a boat with them, and they got hungry, and they only had one loaf of bread. And they guess they forgot. You know, and it got upset, and they started arguing with each other, you know, like Peter. And, you know, Peter has his anger issues. You know, how could you not forget to remember the bread? I thought it was your job to bring the bread. No, you told me I got the oars. And they're fighting amongst themselves over something that is important because they need to eat, but they didn't realize who they had in the ship with them. And that's what Jesus kind of was telling them. Said, look, I could see, you know, Jesus, I could imagine how Jesus might feel with me and my mistakes. And every time that I doubt God, and every time that I forget what he's done for me and how he must mutter under his breath before teaching me a lesson or before providing for me. But I could imagine I haven't seen him in person in the flesh. But these disciples have walked with him, have ministered with him, have dealt with and seen and witnessed and been a witness to his miracles for 3 years. And they quickly forgot what Jesus has done and the miracles that he can perform. So it would kind of behoove them to think like, man, okay, we've forgotten the bread. Jesus, I hate to bother you, but would you mind? We only have one loaf of bread. I know you can do it. But would you mind, you know, performing another miracle and multiplying this little bit that we have? And if Jesus would have wanted to, he could have done it. But they're fighting amongst themselves, forgetting who they're with. And the thing about it is this, they didn't think about, like, if Jesus is able to do a miracle before, he can do the same thing. He can work another miracle in the future because it's the same God that works a miracle that did fed the 5,000. And had leftovers is the same Jesus that performed the miracle and multiplied for the 4,000 and had leftovers. So God is a God of more than enough. Jesus is a God of more than enough. And that's what kind of like, that's what I want you to tell you. Whatever you're going through, you might look around nowadays when your Christmas is not going to be the same as it used to be. Be it you're not around the family members, being some people are missing, or being that you can't celebrate the way you want to, or being that you don't have the finances that you'd had in prior years because of circumstances, because of COVID, and because of the shutdown, and because you're not being able to work. But times have changed, but God hasn't. So let's always remember that although times have changed, although circumstances might have changed, although your situation might have changed, your pockets may not be, your bank account may not be where you would like it to be, all that might be different, but God is still the same. Let's not forget to remember who God is. Let's not forget to remember who Jesus is in our life. Let's not forget to remember the ways he's made for us, the doors he's opened for us, the windows he's opened up and cracked open, and we got blessings out of nowhere. Let's not forget. It's very easy to forget. It's very easy to concentrate on where you at, working at now, and the problem you're at right now, or you can't see the forest for the trees because you got your head down trying to figure out next day or today, and you're trying to figure out what today. You can't plan for tomorrow because you're worrying about today. But don't worry about today. Let the work today worry itself, and just worry about and do what God wants you to do. Serve God and seek God. Always have him in your life, and God will work your today out so you can have a tomorrow. Amen. God has promised us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised us that he'd be with us even to the end of the age when he sent the Great Commission down. And he promised that his spirit will reside with us and in us at all times. All we need to do is trust him. He's promised us. And then he left. And so now we're left with his promise, but his promise is his word, and that's just as good as him being here. And that requires faith, yes. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence or the proof of things that you can't see. And so you got to have the kind of faith that trust the promises of God when you can't trace the presence of him.
Okay.
Even when you don't see him around, even when it may seem that you're all alone, even when you seem that you got more bills than money, even when you seem that you got collectors coming or you got more people trying to get at you for things, or you're trying to, you can't make seem to make ends meet. Trust the promises of God, because he is still God. And he is there for you whenever you need him. He's not like a make-a-wish kind of guy, but he's that God that's trying to lead you and to guide you. Always seek his presence. Always seek his love. Always seek his heart. And where your heart is, that's where God is. And you seek where God loves and love what God loves and do what God wants you to do. And all these other things, the bread or whatever you might be worrying about, God will take care of that. Because if it matters to God, if it matters to you, it matters to God. And if certain things that you think might matter may not matter as much to God, because they may not be for you at that time. Or, for example, let's say, God, I really wanted this Benz or this car or whatever, this, you know, fine car. But God's like, look, you really can't handle that right now. You need to stick with this hoopty and get you a ride. And that makes you have a car till you can build your credit up, till you can build your character. Because I want to bless you, and I don't want to add sorrow to it. Because God's blessings make us rich and doesn't add any sorrow to it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So we want to make sure that what we're dealing with, what we're handling with, we're trying not to handle too much. Because God doesn't want us to overload ourselves and overburden ourselves and be burdened over with the things of this world. Because God wants us to worry about him and to worry about the people in this world, not the things of this world. Right? And it's kind of touching back when he says, back in the scripture in verse 15, it says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And I kind of skipped over that, but I want to go back and delve on it and take a little side note, take a little detour real quick. And when Jesus told them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. If we go back into our Bible, or go into a dictionary, leaven is basically something like yeast. Yeast is used to describe yeast that goes in to make, that you put into bread and it makes it rise. Right. And but also does it. It's like a fungi. It makes it go bad quickly. Mm-hmm. Right. So like a little leaven spoils the whole loaf. And he says the leaven of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are adding more. They represent religion. They represent the structure of church, but it's adding, they're adding more to it. They're adding more to religion. They're adding more to church and adding more laws and adding more signs. And they seek for a sign and looking for, because earlier in the scripture, it's like they're seeking for a sign, even though Jesus is here. They don't see what's right in front of them because they want to add, because it doesn't meet what their requirements and their prerequisites, because they added so much more to the word of God and to the will of God that God never wanted.
Come on.
He doesn't want his church to be fat. He doesn't want his church to be bloated. He doesn't want his church to be built up in like a big loaf of like a big fluffy loaf of bread. He wants it to be unleavened. So be careful of the rules and regulations that we put on ourselves that God never represented, that God never required. Be careful of those rudiments. Be careful of those laws that we're trying to govern ourselves of that is God, that we think that God ordained, but God never said. Be careful of those, the leaven of the Pharisees. And also be careful of the leaven of Herod. Herod represents government. Don't get so caught up in the government or the political systems of this world. Because if you like it or not, Satan is in charge of the world. God gave Satan dominion over this earth for a time until he comes back. And so Satan operates in a political system. Satan operates on this earthly system. And us trying to delve into the political system, I'm not trying to say don't get involved with politics, but don't let it rule your life. Right. Don't let it govern your salvation. Right. Don't let it govern your finance and your friend, your finances and your friends and your family. Don't lose friends and family and your life over politics. Don't lose friends, family and friends over religion. God has this. He wants the whole world.
Yes.
Not just certain sets of people. He wants everybody. Yes. So don't add more to the rules of the political system that God never intended. God never really wants us to be ruled by man anyway. He never wants us to have a king. He never wants us to have a president or a government, things like that. He wants us to be ruled by God. You know, when Jesus comes back, we're going to have a system that's Jesus is in charge. He's our king. He's our Lord. And we're going to follow after him. We don't have to vote him. We don't have to vote him in or out. He's Jesus. He's Lord. Yeah. All right. So open up your eyes. Don't let the leaven of Pharisees or church weigh you down. Open up your eyes. Don't let the leaven or the yeast of political systems of or Herod weigh you down. God wants you to be free.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. All right. So it's funny that when when Jesus told them this, like, don't be wary of, take heed, be wary of beware of the leaven, and they thought right away that he must be talking about we didn't have enough bread. So that's what he's talking about, and they assumed incorrectly. And sometimes when And that's how they start fighting about it. That's when they start worrying about different things. And I found out a lot of times that a lot of things that we worry about is a byproduct of incorrect questions or incorrect assumptions. You're asking the wrong questions and you get to a conclusion that you can't get to. You worry about, like, so Jesus is telling us to worry about the bread that we have. So they're going down the road. It's like, who brought the bread and who forgot the bread? And they're going down that path. And Jesus wasn't even talking about that in the first place. So a lot of times, even a lot of our problems, and we look about, oh man, I got this bill due here on the 15th. I got rent due. I got the car due. I got this payment. I got assurance. And you look at your bank statement and you check and you're like, oh man. And so you go down that path and you ask about, how can I do this? How can I do that? How can I do that? And you're asking the wrong questions to the wrong person. When you keep been asking God, look, God, this is what I have. How can you help me do this? Mm-hmm. Let's not forget to remember who God is in our life.
Yes.
It's God that allowed you to have that job.
Come on.
It's God that allowed you to have that car. It's God that allowed you to bless you with that house,
yes.
Right? Yes. It's God that blessed you with that husband or that wife.
That's right.
Or that child or those children. Yes. Lord Jesus. But if God blessed you with them, it's God bless you because he's going to be responsible to help you take care or manage that. He doesn't give you something and just like, okay, you're on your own. He never left us. He said it. I said it again. Don't forget to remember. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that means on the other side, he's not going to leave you alone with the things he's blessed you with. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Type amen in the comments. Let me know you're talking. I know I'm talking to you. So if God promised us never to leave us, never forsake us, and if we are coming to situations and circumstances that we can't seem to handle by ourselves, then that we seem to we can't, we're losing sleep over it, we're losing time. How are we going to do? Like, God doesn't want us to lose, because what that's doing is you're taking time away from God. Mm-hmm. When you're worrying about your problems, when you should be praising your Lord. Don't spend time worrying about your problems, because worrying can't fix your problems. Yes. Nothing ever got resolved by worrying at it. No bill ever got paid by worrying about it. No life was saved by worrying about it.
That's right.
Right? All these things come from prayer and fasting. And going to God, and God does the increase. God does the work. God does the miracles. Yes. God provides. God provides. God provides. Yes. What yes. does worrying do? I'll wait. What good does worrying do for you? How has that gotten you? And I'll go to my coaching, turn on my coaching hat. What good has worrying done for you and your problems? Go to God. Give it to God. I said this before. You know, those sayings they used to say that were scripture or whatever, but they say in church that God never gives you more than you can bear. And I said it all the time. That's not true, because God often gives you more than you can bear, because he doesn't want you to worry, rely on everything yourself. He wants you to go to him. He wants you to give it to him. He wants you to trust in him at all times with all things within your life. So, if God's never going to leave you nor forsake you, even in the good times, even in the bad times, go to him. Worship him. Give it all to him, because he wants to bless you with more. And the more he blesses you with, the more he could trust you with, the more you could be a blessing to others. Amen. Even in the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, Psalm 31st verse, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So don't worry about chasing after the almighty dollar. Money, 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 money. Don't worry about chasing after that dollar. Chase after God.
Yes.
And seek his kingdom first. And his kingdom is not about being with the highest title or the highest the title in front of your name and the big, you know, big seat or big pizza. You know, God wants you to seek his kingdom by serving his people. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Be right before God. Don't sin. Do what's right. And all these things will be given to you as well. You don't have to worry about your problems. You don't have to be like what we call the pagans. You don't have to be like those that don't have a God to worship. You don't have to be like those that don't know who God is in their life. Seek God first at all times. And all you don't have to worry about, those things that you have need of and those things you even want, God will bless you with in due time. Amen. And that leads us to the greatest gift, and during this Christmas season, now that we're in December, Lord help us, this Christmas time that we're in, that the greatest gift that God has provided for us was his son. And he gave that to us freely. And Jesus came himself to us freely. When he came down and lived his life, he worked his miracles. He fed his 5,000. He fed his 4,000. He taught his lessons and he preached the gospel. But most importantly, he died on the cross for our sins and for your sins and for mine. And he got up on that third day with all power in his hand. Why? Because he loved us. He was that sacrificial lamb that paid the price for our sins. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a price that we had no money in the bank to answer or to measure up to. And he did that for us. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And I call this, this leads us to the salvation ABCs. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners and needed forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The salvation ABCs: acknowledge, believe, and confess. And if you want, we could pray this prayer together. Bow your head and pray this prayer and repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Kind Father, we bless you. We magnify you, God. We bless you. We thank you for those that were able to hear, that was able to take witness and bear witness to the words that you have said. God, I ask you just to come into their hearts, come into their lives, and make them clean, make them new, and let them never forget to remember who you are in their lives and why you came. And what this whole life means to them. They are here for a purpose. They were born for a purpose, and they have a purpose to fulfill in their lives. Touch their hearts. Fill them up with your Holy Spirit. Save them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Listen, anybody that's wants to get in contact with us, I want to be in touch with you. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Listen, thank you so much for joining with us. You could have been anywhere else, but I'm grateful. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day.